I have to apologize our late coming today. May Allah forgive all of us. It was actually not intended. We should have continued with our book today, but I felt that there were few issues we raised or that are connected to the last issue we discussed that deserve some attention. In the last class we read what the Imam said, rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Muzani was a student of Imam Shafi. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because perhaps some of the people will feel that you Muslims, are you preaching that we should be docile in the face of oppression and tyranny of leaders? We should just stand akimbo and watch when the leader is being oppressive. Maybe it's because these malams now, they want to be closer to government. They want government to like them. Shaitan can bring this kind of thought into some minds. So that's why I said Al-Imam al-Muzani was the student of Ash-Shafi'i. And all of what he mentioned are as we have seen in clear-cut narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the people try to explain out not rising against a leader. They say, no, that is talking to a leader that is just. There is hadith wherein he said alayhi salatu wasalam that even if such leaders were leaders who kulubuhum kulubu shayatin fi jismani insan, even if the hearts of those leaders are like those of shayatin in the casing of human beings, the people should still not rise against them. This is a clear-cut statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is the fact of Islam. Because Islam does not support agitating the people and pushing them into self-destruction. You agitate them. Ho, 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 ho. Your leader is bad. Your leader is bad. Come out. They come out, they take killer of them. What benefit does that bring to the people? And what benefit does it bring to the leader? It worsens the situation of the leader because they will be carrying more burdens on their neck because of the way they will treat those people. And it will also worsen the situation of the people because it makes the leaders become more aggressive and tyrannical. And our religion, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ, Allah does not like evil spread on the earth. So, but there are some issues connected to that. Firstly is that, does it now mean that Islam does not have any admonition for leaders? It leaves leaders to just do what they like to their people? We say no, Islam does not leave the leaders to do just what they like. What it has done is that it is encouraging the people that if the leaders do wrong, it does not justify another wrong. One wrong of the leaders and the rulers and the people in authority does not justify another wrong from the people. To make us now understand that, we read some narrations to us from the Prophet Muhammad that encourage the leaders to do well to their followers and that warn them, narrations that warn about if the leaders are oppressive, what will Allah do to them? Subhanahu. May Allah forgive us all. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira. The very, very popular hadith. In it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سبعة يظلهم الله تعالى في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظل. There are seven group of people. There are seven groups of people. يظلهم الله في ظله. Allah will make them come under the shade of His arsh. On the day of Qiyamah, as some of us amongst the scholars have said, the arsh of Allah will have a shade. Some say no. The zil of Allah means the zil, the shadow that Allah will bring, the shadow that belongs to Him, He will bring it on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On a day when no one shall find a shade available except the shade that Allah provides. One of those who will be under the shade, like the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, is that what? Imamun Adil. Imamun Adil. A fair, a just ruler. A ruler of the people who is just. You see from this hadith, Islam encourages leaders to be what? To be just. Al-Imam al-Haq explaining this hadith. He said, صاحب الولاية, Imam عادل is who? صاحب الولاية, a person in authority. صاحب الولاية العظمى, that is the ultimate ruler, like in a country say the head of state. This is Imam عادل, head of state of a country. ويلتحق به كل من ولي شيئا من أمور المسلمين. And every person who heads anything in the affairs of the Muslims is also related to that. Imamun Adilun, a fair ruler. Ibn Hajar said, Rahimahullah, that refers to the ultimate ruler, overall ruler of the people. And every group of persons, every person that is heading a section of the Muslims, he is also an Imam. فَعَدَلَ فِيهِ. If such a person is fair in his ruling, in his dealing with the people, he will be under the shade of Allah's arsh, or under the shade that Allah will provide on the day of Qiyamah. This hadith encourages rulers to be what? Just and fair to their people. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He said, Ahlul Jannati Salafatun. That is, there are three amongst the groups of people that will be inside Al-Jannah. Amongst the groups of people, different kinds of people will be in Al-Jannah. Amongst them, there are three groups of people. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Zul Sultanin Muqtitun. A person of authority that is what? Muqtit. Just. That is fair amongst his people. Mutafaddiqun. He is very, very benevolent. Muwaffaqun. Allah grants him success in what he does. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Zul Sultanin Muqtitun. A person in authority who is fair. Mutafaddiqun, who is benevolent to his people, muwaffaqun, and Allah grants him success in what he does. There are people, when they do a thing, you will think that everything is correct with them. If he takes the step is correct. The next step he takes is correct. When he gives an expression, it is up. Everything he says is up. And conversely, there are people, every step they take, every governmental decision they take is a mistake. They will muwaffaqeen. Nas'alullah salam wa salam. May Allah protect us from that. There are people like that. Every decision they take is an error. Every policy they make is an error. May Allah protect us. Because of the importance of the other two groups of people, let us mention them. So he said, Zul Sultanin Muqtitun Mutafaddiqun Ko Muwaffaqun. A person in authority who is very benevolent, that Allah grant success in his affairs. وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ رَحِيقُ الْقَلْبِ بِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى رَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ. A man that is very, very merciful with people. رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ, soft-hearted. لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى, to every person that is from his kith and kin, is kind with them. رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى. It's fair, easy-minded with the members of his family. Usually, many brothers and sisters are not fair. They are not kind-hearted. They are not soft when they deal with members of their family. They are hard against them. May Allah protect us. And their thing is always that they don't understand religion. Who will teach them? Who will teach them? They are always acting against the Sunnah. Did you explain it to them? May Allah protect us. The third person, he said, "Huwa Muslimun, afifun muta'afifun." Muslimun, a Muslim, afifun, chill, muta'afifun, who goes to high extent regarding his chastity. A Muslim that is chill, afif, somebody who does not commit fahisha, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, fahisha with women. Afif, he's far away from that. Muta'afifun, he goes to high extent to keep himself away from that. Which kind of a person will be from amongst the people of Al-Jannah? And he is what? All upon that. Zu'iyali. He has a lot of dependence on him or dependent. Family relations, friends, depending on him. At that, he is afif. Afif, ifa, could also mean keeping away from haram. He is zu'iyal. He has a lot of dependence. Yes, it does not mean that he will eat haram. So that a person has a lot of people depending on him does not justify him eating haram. So three groups of people. Zu'sultanin muqtisun, a fair ruler. Mutafaddiqun muwaffaqun, is very benevolent to people, and that whom Allah grants success in his affairs. وَرَجُلٌ رَحِيمٌ, a man that is kind, merciful to people. رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى, who is soft-hearted when he deals with members of his family. وَمُسْلِمٌ عَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَّالٍ, a Muslim that is afif, far away from shamelessness. Muta'afifun, who goes to high extremes to keep away from shamelessness. There are shameless behavior people behave. Behavior people behave that indicates that they are shameless people. May Allah protect them. He's far away from them. Despite the fact that we have people depending on him. So these three groups of people are from amongst the people of Al-Jannah. The fourth point of reference, the fourth person is our point of reference. A leader that is what? Fair with his people, benevolent with them, and just in his dealings regarding them. The third hadith contains a warning. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith has a story around it. Al-Imam Hasan al-Basri was amongst the Tabi'un who lived in Basra. This hadith is Hadith Ahli Basra. So they had a leader at the time during the Khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. His name was Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was popular for one term shedding of blood. He killed anybody he liked. This one, go and do this. This one, go and do that. He was very oppressive. And at that time in Basra, there was the companion, Ma'aqil ibn Yasar al-Juhani. He was in Basra. A companion. Radiallahu anhu. So one day, when this companion wanted to die, Hassan al-Basri was there. The leader now came, like saying presidential visit, or governor's visit. Because at that time, being a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a popular figure. The whole town, we know you. So in the entirety of Basra, Ibn Ma'ak, Ibn Yasar, Ma'ak Ibn Yasar was well known. So the governor came to visit him. Governorship visit. And the companion saw that he was dying of it. So he said, Laula, if it were not that I fear that I will die and go away, I would not have told you what I want to tell you now. I want to tell you that I heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ما من وال يلي رعية من المسلمين ما من وال يلي أو يلي ولية أو رعية رعية من المسلمين فيموت وهو غاش له. Any person, ma min walin, any person who is governing any group of Muslims, any person governing any groups of Muslims, fayamutu wa huwa ghashun lahu, and he dies while deceiving them. He is deceiving his people, and then he dies upon that. Illa harramallahu alayhi al-jannata. Allah will make al-Jannah haram for him. Any leader who is leading a group of people. In another riwayah, it says, مَا مِنْ وَالٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Any person that Allah places any group of Muslims under him, فَلَمْ يحطها بنصحة أو بنصيحة لم يحطها, and he did not preserve that authority بنصيحة, with sincerity of heart, with sincerity of action, with duly discharging their rights to them. It says that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام that لم يجد رائحة الجنة لم أو لا يجد رائحة الجنة. He will not smell the fragrance of Al-Jannah. Any leader, any person Allah places over Muslims, and he does not preserve that authority, he will not smell Al-Jannah. And the companion died, radiallahu anhu. He said it face to face with the ruler and then died. This brings us, that hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. In fact, also in Sahih Muslim, hadith of Ma'qil ibn Yasar. This brings us to a hadith we read last week, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and it brings us to our second topic today. If we see a ruler that is now violent and tyrannic with his people, how do we advise him? One of the ways is what you saw that companion did. That companion did not come in the public and started to shout. This person was an oppressor. Everybody rise against him, fight him, push him away. He waited for the opportunity that we had in that hadith, wherein the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that afdalul jihadi kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin ja'irin. The best of jihad is kalimatu haqqin. True words that you say in the sultan in Jain to a person, to a ruler that is oppressive. Like in India, he said, when you are in front of him, course. So the companion waited for the opportunity and told him, face to face. In the presence of the very few people. He didn't go out to the public. This person is a bad leader, he did. I'm companion of the Prophet, so I command you, come out, rise against him. He did not do that. He waited for the time. And he discharged his amana. May Allah make it easy for us. There are two ways of correcting a leader. One is general arm. The other one is specific arm. If in the general case, if you are a ruler, you are an imam in a masjid, and the ruler comes and prays in your mosque, wherein you are leading as an imam. On the days of Jummah, you have summons to make who? To make someone that it is not good to be zalim. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتَ عَلَى أَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah has commanded you that you should discharge the trust to those to whom they belong. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And that when you rule amongst people, when you judge amongst people, you should judge with what? Justice. So when you are imam, you explain that. How do we do justice? How? While the leader was there, you see, both the leader and the non-leader, both the ruler and the non-ruler, everybody will seek his own aspect of the nasiha. If he were an oppressive leader that used to kill people, say, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah has prohibited killing people. Oh, yeah, you are not. Don't kill people. You don't point to him and say, you, stop killing. In the masjid, he will wait for you. After the khutbah, what will happen? You will be the first person he will kill. May Allah protect us. So in the general sense, general law is up. When the Amir is there, talk to everybody. Are you Hanaf? He's part of the Nas, go. So this is general law is up. Or you are speaking on a radio that you know that the ruler will be hearing what you say. Say that. Oh people, don't be unfair. Oh people, don't say, oh you are our ruler. Not on now. Don't specify in that case. If you are speaking to the generality of the people, don't mention him specifically. You will not achieve your aim. In fact, he will be his first victim when you finish. So lock him up. And then you start begging, I beg you, I beg you. What are you begging for? Are you begging that what you said was wrong? What you said was right, but you were not wise in the delivery of what you said. So you brought yourself into problems. You were on the minbar yesterday, you go on your knees tomorrow. Please, I beg you, I beg you. Don't bring yourself into that second. Make it general, so that you can say another one tomorrow. I always repeat this. Don't give someone such that you will not say another one tomorrow. And you say today and end today, no. Give yourself another opportunity. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. May Allah make it easy for us. The first way to correct a ruler is through what? General admonition. The second way to correct a ruler is through specific admonition. You advise him specifically. So how do you do that? The Prophet taught us. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal reported a hadith in his Musnad. In it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man arada an yansaha li sultanin bi amrin, man arada an yansaha li sultanin bi amrin." Whoever wants to give sincere advice regarding a matter to any ruler, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا يُبْدِ لَهُ عَلَى نِيَةً. Don't say it to him publicly. The Prophet Muhammad, so you want to advise the ruler on a matter, فَلَا يُبْدِ لَهُ عَلَى نِيَةً. Let that person not say it to that leader publicly. You go on the radio, you start mentioning your governor or your president, and say, you start abusing you, you have this, you are that. The Prophet has prohibited you, alayhi salatu wasalam, from them. Then he says, walakin, rather, what the person should do, liya'akhudha biyadihi, should hold the hands of authority, describing closeness, go, liya'akhudha biyadihi, fayakhluwa bihi, and then he goes to a private place with him and say that. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ فَذَاكَ. If the ruler accepts that sincere advice, that you grab his hand, you went to a corner, you went to a private place, and you said it to him, Amir, please, oh ruler, don't kill people, don't oppress, don't consume their money. Allah doesn't like it. The hadith said it, like Ma'akil ibn Yasar did to Ibn Ziyad. In the Prophet, the Prophet said, if the ruler accepts, it is fazaka, so be it. He says, wa illa, because many of the people where we have told him, he has not changed, so what? You have decided your own responsibility. So stop at that, oh man. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, wa illa, kana qad adda alladhi alayhi lahu. Wa illa qad adda alladhi alayhi lahu. Or alladhi lahu alayhi. They are both correct. If the ruler does not accept qad addaita, you have fulfilled your own responsibility. Adda ma alayhi lahu. The responsibility you have, the obligation you have to advise him, you have done that. One way the early Muslims used to do that again was through letter. They wrote a letter when they have access. Please let me give it to Amir. So if you want to advise president, do it like that. If you want to advise your governor, they will see it and they will read it. Perhaps it will touch their heart. But when you go and announce on the radio, they will send their boys to arrest you. May Allah protect us. Except if on the radio you give general admonition regarding what they do to you. If you want to advise the president, you can say, oh, Allah has prohibited alcohol. Don't drink alcohol. Allah hates it. Allah does this. Allah does this. It inhibits right thinking. It is start mentioning. Maybe you know that it's a ruler who consumes alcohol, and he's going to come there. He just stays there. Make that your morals on that day without mentioning him. Without pointing, you are drinking alcohol, God will punish you. You enter a fire. Allah, don't do that. In fact, you may not end it. You may not end that sermon before they throw you somewhere. May Allah protect us. That is wisdom. Udu'i ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati hasanati. Invite to the path of Allah with wisdom and good preaching. Good preaching, good way, good presentation. Sensibly, wisely. Wisely meaning say at the right place the right thing. This is the meaning of wisdom there. Say the right thing at the right place and at the right time. May Allah protect us. This is the second issue. So people should not say, they just want us to just stay like that. No, we make effort. From the effort too we have with them to be making dua for them. Oh Allah, guide our leader. Allah, make them take good decisions. That dua you are making for the leader, you are not making it for the leader, you are making it for yourself. Because if Allah guides his heart towards what is good, who will enjoy the good? We. But if you question Allah, disgrace him, no problem. When he disgraces him, disgrace will come to who first? The people. May Allah protect us and guide our leaders. So you see, if you go to social media, people do a lot of things today that Islam does not support. And they will think that they are doing it in the name of Islam. This is Quran, this is Hadith now we are talking about. If you ask, how the Prophet say we should, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, admonish leaders? You have heard it today. And the hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. If you want to have an admonition to the leader, he says, hold his hand, go to one corner, go, and tell him. If he accepts, fazaka. If he does not accept, you have done your own. People should not think that when they say something to a leader, sometimes it's not even a matter of oppression and aggression. It may just be some issues of technical faults, procedural errors, or some issues of administration that requires adjustment. If you advise the ruler or the leader or your MD and he accepts, accept. If he does not, beg Allah to guide him to see the truth in what you have said. Ulama say it is part of insincerity to think that when you advise a person, he must take to your advice. It is part of insincerity. May Allah protect us. So that is the second issue we have to discuss today. The third issue is regarding an issue one of the brothers raised last week, that there is a narration in At-Tibyan fi Ulum al-Quran by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ali al-Sabuni regarding the fact that if a person is a ruler, he can appoint after him, or he can appoint his successor. You remember we mentioned this part. He said two ways Islam accepts that rulers emerge. One way is that the shura sit and select them. People of nobility sit down and say, okay, so person becomes the ruler. Or, as was done during the time of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. Cool? Or, the person, the outgoing ruler, gazettes a law and says, when I go, the next person will be so-and-so. These two are allowed in Islam, because when Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, passed away, or was passing away, he gave the same law, gave the same wasiyah, that the next Amir should be who? Umar radiallahu anhu. In fact, the person who wrote that gazette was who? Uthman ibn Affan. The law was written by Uthman ibn Affan. That the next person who will be the Amir was who? Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was the one who announced to the people that the Amir on the bed, sick bed, has told me that when he goes away, the next person should be who? Umar. So the Amir can appoint somebody after him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed the best of the Ummah after him. We are coming back to them, inshallah, in our class. The best of this Ummah after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was who? Umar. And it's who? Umar. When I say was, so that we do not think it was yesterday, today it's another one. It has always been Umar and it is Umar. The best of this Ummah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu was an eighth Umar radiallahu. So he was made the Amir by appointment of an outgoing Amir. So if an outgoing Amir says, the next person I'm going to choose as the Amir is my son, I'm not Amiru. If a ruler outgoing says, the next person is my son, in Islam it is accepted. Inside Islam. And that acceptance is an issue of ijma', consensus amongst the companions and those who came after. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, while explaining this matter in his sharh of Sahih Muslim, he said, وَحَاصِلُهُ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, in a nutshell, the Muslims, أجمعوا على أن الخليفة, they are agreed that the overall ruler, إذا حضرته مقدمات الموت, when the signs of death come upon him, he says, وقبل ذلك, before he dies, يجوز له استخلاف, it is allowed for him to appoint a successor. وَيَجُوزُ لَهُ تَرْكُهُ, it is also allowed for him not to appoint. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the correct opinion is that he did not appoint Abu Bakr Siddiq. Because there are some among the scholars who are of the opinion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually has appointed Abu Bakr as the next Amir. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in Minhaj al-Sunnah, he said, the Prophet only gave ima'ah, indication, something that will indicate that when I go, I want this one. And one of that was, even the last salah that they performed, it was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq he gave to lead that salah. And then he was making statements. A woman came and was traveling away. She said, if I come back, who will I meet? He said, don't worry, if you don't meet me, you will meet Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abdullah ibn Umar reported in Sahih Bukhari. He said, during the Prophet's life, we used to say, Abu Bakr Summa Umar, Abu Bakr Summa Umar. The Prophet will hear, he will just smile. That is silent approval. So, I also think that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was aware of those indicators too, that after him it should be who? Omar. So the Prophet did not say anybody directly, but he gave ima'at. The reason why I'm mentioning this is that there are some amongst the ulama who believe that the Prophet had already appointed Abu Bakr. But the correct thing is what Sheikh Islam said, rahimahullah. Among those who said it was al-Imam Hassan al-Basri. That no, it is mansusun alayh. The khilafah of the caliphate of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is something that the Prophet expressly said, and they brought narrations. But when you look at them, these narrations do not suffice to say it was a clear-cut, you know, rule. The way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu presented Omar. So he left the Muslims to decide. And they decided and chose Abu Bakr. So that's why Imam al-Nawawi said, وَيَجُوزُ لَهُ تَرْكُهُ. And it is allowed for him to leave it without specification. فَإِن تَرَكَهُ فَقَدْ اِقْتَدَى بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If the ruler leaves it without specifying his successor, he has followed the line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام في هذا وَإِلَّا. And at the same time, if he specifically mentions it, فَقَدْ اِقْتَدَى بِأَبِي بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ. He has followed the line of conduct of who? Abu Bakr. وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى انْعِقَادِ الْخِلَافَةِ بِالْإِسْتِخْلَافِ. They are agreed that the appointment of a successor, that khilafah is mun'aqidah. That is, it is established, it is stable, it is recognized in the Sharia. It is sound, it does not have any problem. If you say an outgoing ruler appoints his Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, أَجْمَعُوا عَلَى الْعِقَادِ. They are agreed, they have a consensus on the matter. This was the point we raised last week. We just mentioned it. But now we are affirming it because we are using it to come into an issue. But the brother raised an issue last week that it is contained in At-Tibyan fi Ulum al-Qur'an. I wouldn't know whether the brother is around today. But I remember promising that we will revisit the issue, that my time with this book had been with since a long time ago. So it was one of the first books we bought. Since a long time ago. So we went back to the book. It is under Asbab al-Nuzul, issues relating to the precedence of before revelations of verses of the Quran. And that has to do, that hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. The actual of the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. The fifth time. It is regarding the sabab al-nuzul of a verse in Surah al-Ahqaf, where Allah says, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفٍّ لَكُمَا. We know that verse to the end. There was an incident. Marwan ibn Hakam was appointed as the governor of Medina by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And we remember that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan also wrote and gazetted that his son Yazid ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan should be the next Amir after him. The brother raised that one of the people at that time called it Heraclea. And that was true. That is what we are addressing now. Who said that? Why did he say it? What impact has that statement vis-a-vis the ijma that we mentioned? Consensus that we talked about. I hope the matter is clear. Says Kana Marwan. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, hadith 4827. كان مروان على الحجاز استعمله معاوية. معاوية ابن أبي سفيان made مروان ابن حكم as the governor of where Medina
فَخَطَبَ. So one day Marwan ibn Hakam came into the mosque, he gathered the people and he gave a sermon. فَجَعَلَ يَذْكُرُ يَزِيدَ ibn Muawiyah. He started mentioning who? Yazid ibn Muawiyah. In other reports, he was telling them that Allah has suggested, Allah has given, Allah has inspired Muawiyah. Allah has given Muawiyah the direction to select his son Yazid as the next. I mean, he was making them understand what is going to happen after the death of Muawiyah. لِكَيْ يُبَايَعَ لَهُ بَعْدَ أَبِيهِ. He started mentioning Yazid so that the people will know that he is the one that they will give allegiance, they will take allegiance from after the death of his father. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنَ أَبِي بَكْرِ. If I'm not mistaken, I think the brother mentioned عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنَ عَوْفِ. It's not عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنَ عَوْفِ. It was عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنُ أَبِي بَكْرِ the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, not who? Ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr said something. I'm reading to us the report in Sahih al-Bukhari. In Sahih al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Bukhari did not mention what Abdul Rahman said. Lakin al-Imam Ismaili, he mentioned what he said. He said, فأراد معاوية, the story from his own point, so that it will become clearer. He said, when Marwan made that statement, he said, سُنَّةُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. What معاوية was doing is the sunnah of who? Abu Bakr and Umar. فقال عبد الرحمن. So عبد الرحمن said, سنة هراقل وقيصر. It's not the sunnah of Abu Bakr. It's the sunnah of who? هراقل. That is Heraclius. In history, that's what they refer to as Heraclian dynasty. They ruled the Byzantine Empire for 100 years. When a person goes, his younger brother or like that comes. When he goes, his son or young brother. So it is called Heraclean dynasty. So it's what they say, no, that is Heraclea. That is following after Heraclius and Caesar, the Kostros. So that is what Abdul Rahman said, radiallahu anhum. Others amongst the ulama reported that he said, Ajitun biha Heraclea yubaya'una liabnaikum. Are you bringing Heraclea the way that Heraclius and his family were succeeding one another, such that yubayuuna abnaakum, you will be taking the bay'ah from your children? Is that the new thing you want to bring? Meanwhile, Marwan ibn Hakam was giving evidence it was the sunnah of who? Abu Bakr and Umar. He was saying, no, that is Heraclea. So the point of reference here is that the person to follow is not Abdul Rahman. The person to follow is not Abdul Rahman. Because the proof does not lie in what he says. One of the ulama, Sheikh Siddiq Hassan Khan, was saying that some of the people were opposing Yazid. They didn't want Yazid to be the next person because there are eminent ones amongst the top, the Sahaba on the ground. There was Ibn Umar. There were others. There's Makil ibn Yasar, there's Sa'id ibn Sa'id al-Sa'idi. They were all on the ground. So how then do you bring Yazid? He was a very young boy at the time. There were elders on the ground. That this was the reason why they opposed. But that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan did not give to Yazid because he wanted to give to Yazid. He gave to Yazid because Banu Umayyah at the time, the people were agreed with them. So if a ruler comes from amongst them, it will not cause confusion in the Ummah. So in order to avoid that confusion, he brought somebody that is more likely to be accessible to the rank and file of the people and avoid a situation where there will be commotion in the Ummah. That is why this matter can be used in two ways. Appointing your successor. A person can use it
to the benefit of the people. Like we mentioned, when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was asked that, what are you leaving us to? So I'm leaving you with the best of you. So the next person, if you are going to be a ruler and appoint the next person for us, make sure you can answer as Abu Bakr al-Siddiq has answered. But nevertheless, they are not challenging the fact that it is allowed to select a successor. They are rather challenging bringing a successor that they do not find suitable. You bring this kind of a young boy when there are elders around. So there are differences between the two. This does not obliterate the fact that the Sharia still allows, or Islam still allows, the incumbent to appoint the successor. I hope this point is clear. The statement of Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Bakr is not rejecting the Sunnah of Umar and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. It's rather rejecting the person that was appointed. This one now I met. There are elders on the ground. He went and bring this young boy. Although some of the ulama say Ibn Yazid himself was not a very pious person. Some say, okay, he wasn't a very pious person, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made a statement that indicates that Allah will forgive Yazid. Constantinople. In Arabia, they say Constantinia. The second invasion of Constantinia was heard by Yazid. And the messenger mentioned that amongst those group of people, those who lead them will be forgiven. Ulama say Yazid is amongst them. So what Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq was rejecting in that narration was Yazid himself being appointed the ruler. He's not rejecting the fact that it is allowed to appoint a... I want us to get this point clearly. And that is a point of reference in the hadith. That hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari, like we mentioned, and in the number that we have given. I think that is area we need because it's a bit lengthy hadith. So we went to the point of reference and addressed it. That is the third issue I felt necessary. I'm reading from Fathul Bari of Ibn Hajar from the 8th volume and page 733. It contained that discussion about the hadith of Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. So it suffices inshallah to say, to clarify some of those issues. Three issues. The first of them is that Islam wants the leader not to be unjust. It wants him don't be unjust. And Islam encourages the leader to be what? Just. And he counts a just leader from amongst those who will enjoy Allah's shade on the day of Qiyamah. The second point is that we address how do we advise leaders in Islam when they become tyrants and oppressors. And the third issue is the clarification that there is a consensus that it is allowed for a ruling leader to appoint his successor. It's not wrong in Islam. And the statement of Abd al-Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, was rather looking at the person that was appointed and not who, and not the procedure for the appointment. Allahu Akbar. So today, inshallah, we'll take some more questions than we did in the last class. I think there are from here, it did not pass through the processes, they passed through. You would have looked at them before and see how relevant they are. Somebody once told me that a person below 18 years of age cannot lead in Salah. What is your view? It is wrong. That statement is wrong. Even a 5-year-old boy can lead Salah. There's a hadith wherein a 5-year-old boy led the people in Salah. The boy learned Quran between age 5 and 6, and he became the most learned in the Quran. And when he wore his clothes, part of it will fall off and his nudity will be exposed to the extent that the women will be telling the men, help us cover the nudity of our imam. That is authentic, it's in Sunan Abi Dawud.
How did he learn Islam? Let's take a point here, Ikhwan. How did that young boy learn Quran? When the Muslims are passing by, they go to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His own tribe was on the way. So people will stop over their rest before they carry on to go to Medina. You know, children, when they see a stranger, they go near them. Particularly when that stranger is saying something strange. So they will hear those companions reading the Quran, and that boy at age 5 and 6, he was already memorizing the Quran even before his parents became Muslims. I know people like this when we were younger than this. They knew Al-Fatiha, they knew Ikhlas, and they are non-Muslims. So the boy was, so when his community accepted Islam, he was the best in Quran. He was the one in the place to lead Salah. Ulama said this is evidence that a little young boy, as far as he knows the Quran and the rulings of Salah, he should be pushed forward to lead the Salah. This is also evidence that if he can lead Salah, then they can stay in the front row. If they can lead Salah, will they not stay in the front row? So it is wrong. In many places, people remove kids and say, don't send them back. Teach them what to do. When you send them back, does it help the children? Children still go there and play. Why not intersperse them even amongst the elders? You don't want your children to do what you are doing. Because all of those things have impact. Look at this 5-year-old boy. He wasn't a Muslim. His parents were not Muslims. Focus. Let's go and see what is happening. There are some people going to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have come there. Let's go and see them. And when the companions are reading the Quran, making their murajah of Quran, they hear this and they memorize it at that young age. That means if you allow your child to be listening to music, they will memorize that music for you. You prevent the children from exposure to things that they can convey to their memory. When you get a house, look who is your neighbor. What will they be playing? What will your children be hearing? Because what they hear at that time does not go off their mind. I have my own. I grew up in a very largely Christian community. Hymns, ancient and modern. We used to read it. I know a lot of it in my mind till today. We know what I mean by hymns, ancient and modern. You may not know it because we didn't grow up in Christian environment. They have a hymn they sing in Orthodox Methodist churches, Methodist and Anglican churches. The primary school I attended was a Methodist primary school. We used to memorize all those things. Sometimes unknowing children, we just committed those things to memory. They are still there till today. And I'm not revising it. I don't even see hymns, ancient and modern again. But they are still in my mind. So don't expose your children. Take your children to gatherings where they will hear Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and all of these because they have impact on the children. Why not now when the children come to the masjid, some people take them and send them away? Some parents will be announcing, not only not going to go my mama's asking, why? Why that? So and then you come and say, Tabaku, come on, you have sent the boy away already. So how will you come back? How will the boy, you sent him away. You said, come on, the real you are, how is that possible? So let us take it easy with the children. And the parents, too, when we bring the children to the masajid, we should make sure they are well-dressed. They are not causing confusion. When we go back home, we should educate them. Now look, you are going to the house of Allah. Keep it clean, keep it this, keep it that. Rather than throwing the children. There's a hadith they quote. Jannibu masajidakum subiyanakum. Keep your mosque free away from your children. This hadith is weak. And Imam al-Bayhaqi reported it. But it's a very, very, very weak hadith. It's not authentic at all. That is the only proof they have. May Allah protect us. So it is allowed for even a 5-6-year-old boy to lead Salah as far as he can lead that Salah correctly. Allahu Akbar. If one's both tells him or her to tell his visitor, your guy in office, your guy above, tells you to tell his visitor,
that he is not at home, though he is at home, knowing fully well that such an act will amount to falsehood. What can such an aid do? لا طاعة للمخلوق
في معصية الخالق. He tells God, that is a lie. Allah hates me to tell a lie.
May Allah protect me. Now, they are not really saying. Okay. Alaykum salam. Ameen. You say what? It is a wrong principle they are bringing. So whatever they will bring on it will be wrong. Al-mabniyu ala al-baatili baatilun. That whenever we have two choices, we should take the lesser. Whenever we have two evils, we should take the lesser. It's not in every al-akhdhu bi akhaff ad-dararain, taking to the lesser of two evils. They use that to attempt to justify that it is correct in Islam, or that what do they use that to justify? How is it a lesser evil? One is shirk. What is the other one? The Muslims will be denied of their rights. So choose one. Which one is a lesser evil? I'm asking. You didn't answer me. In one case, the Muslims will be oppressed. In another case, they will be committing shirk and kufr. Which one should they take? You don't want to answer me. They should not take anyone. They must have to take one in this circumstance. So which one is the lesser evil according to your principle? It's not your principle. Okay, according to the principle you presented, which one is the lesser evil? Definitely oppression. Even when that is in the hands of Allah. Don't forget, issues of power transference are the automatic right of Allah. The fact that you participated does not mean that the person you participated should win, will win. Are we not in the democracy when 7 people remove 29 people? So calculate, let all those 19 other people be Muslim. Let the 7 be non-Muslim. And those Muslims had participated thinking that they want to help Islam. مَا لِلْإِسْلَامِ نَصَرُوا وَلَا لِلْدِمُوْكْرَاطِيَا كَسَرُوا. They did not destroy the system and they did not help in any way. These systems have destroyed better people than any other system you can find. Look for any good person that was good before he joined. When he joined, what did he become? Just look out. And when you join, may Allah not make you join. When a person joins, they will give him love. They will say anything God, Allah, forget it here. You say, Akhafu Dararain, where? They will say, here, you will lie. We did not tell them that. If they didn't tell him, he will know when he gets to the state that he has to lie here. And sometimes they need tongues and bring and age, isn't it? I know somebody, a brother with beard, needs to start. He said, inshallah, inshallah, we contest. When he was contesting, they told him, point, say, you no go see this money, we no go vote you. He still there now running after them. He didn't achieve anything from it. So in what way do you think you want to help Islam like that?
I want to listen to anybody. I don't just want it that I'm just the only one. I want to be convinced that it has to be as you say or as people say.
They told who?
To go in large number. The large number is 19 over 7. 7 remove 19. We are living with it. It's not a story. It's here. 19 remove 7. 7. Because that is the normal thing. My brain is not my cool. Because it is 19 that should remove by their game. Otherwise, the larger number of things in the sight of Allah does not necessarily mean that it is correct. Allah says, لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب. You cannot compare what is essentially good, what is essentially bad, and what is essentially good. You can't compare the two of them. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَسْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even when the largeness of these bad things scares you in the face, bad is bad, good is good. So if you have just one good person and 30 bad, what kind of laws will you be making? Bad laws. But if you have good because it is good, and everybody including one and the 30 has to follow good because it is good, how is it? This is what Islam says. Do good because it is good. Avoid evil because it is evil. And evil should be avoided. We are in a system where people will support evil, knowing fully well that it is evil. Were people not saying that one group of people are bad, they are this, they are that. When they saw them come and become governor, the cuckoo ran young Gambia. And Shaitan deceived them. Are you? They say one group of people are bad, they are this, they are that. He too was saying it. Then they told him, come and do governor. He quickly ran down. They say, oh, we don't want you again. So how is that? And that is the game there. Me, I don't know any good person that went there and still remained good. If you know one, tell me. If you know one, tell me. So if you go, you are on your own. Don't say somebody send you. You send yourself. Don't say you want to go and help Islam. You are helping yourself. You are on your own. Don't carry others along. You are on your own. Do like any other. Yeah, that's your own issue. You carry the burdens on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. What is what? Two brothers are speaking at the same time. You say what? Telephone. Yes, if you have his phone number, it is also private. If he will pick your phone. If you call him, you know he will pick your call. Assalamu alaikum, sir. With respect. I just thought I should tell you this. Say yes, yes, go on. Say Allah said this. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. So I thought that maybe you took a decision that maybe if you were aware or if you remembered these verses, you may not have taken this kind of decision. Maybe you may wish to change that. How do you think? How do you feel with this? It's okay. Thank you very much, Afa. I will look at it. Want to say hello? Who is that? Is that not what they say? You start abusing them? You know go better for you? You know go do this? Why did you take this decision? God will punish you? What will he say too? There was a president in this country like that. They said the country is jaga-jaga. He to told them something. He to you to this. The other one too caught him again. He said his father and his mother. The Prophet Muhammad. He said, a people will not succeed wherein the rulers curse their followers and the followers curse them. They will not succeed. Here we are. We are looking for success. Followers are cursing leaders, leaders are cursing the followers. If we hear that a ruler travels fast now, he's sick, people will say, make he die here, and you know, in a year away, he will die. Nah, he doesn't need that. When Allah will remove him, he does not even need to die. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbakum fa'alu lima yurid. And your Lord does what he likes. Wallahi, Allah does what he likes. So let's not be cursers of leaders. Wish them well. Pray for them. Don't make jest of them. Recently they said that it's going to be a law. I don't know whether it is now signed into law. That anybody who abuses any ruler now, they will catch him. You got aware? People started saying, oh, they will not abuse a ruler. I said, Islam told you that long ago. May Allah protect us. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. I don't talk about individuals. I talk about issues. Like it doesn't have anything to do with me as an individual. Walaikum salam. Because if I say this, I will not find hadith to speak. What I say here is what I can see hadith and Quran. I can't find a hadith that say the best human being is. I don't have that hadith. Or the bad one is this one. I don't have the hadith. You will listen to him patiently. And that's why Imam Malik and Sufyan al-Thawri, they said those who should do that are knowledgeable people. So when he speaks, you know the answer to give. There is no value that Islam orders the ruler. Al-Imam al-Mawardi in Ahkam al-Sultaniyah, he mentioned 10 things that rulers must do to be ruled. In all of these 10, there is no one that every human being will not see that. Every right-thinking ruler should do this to their people. Common good, things of common good. So there is nothing you will be correcting him about except that it is a thing of common good to everybody, both Muslims and non-Muslims. So it's not an issue of, I'm the governor of the whole state, and then I cannot take advice from Muslims. If the advice from Muslims is an advice that will benefit everybody, let me give you an example. Some people in governor's seat or ministerial seat or seats like this, you see them, they are Muslims, but they attend festivals and celebrations of non-Muslims. It is wrong. And unfortunately, most of the time, underline, it is those amongst them that are Muslims that do that. The non-Muslims don't do that. I grew up in a Christian state. I never knew any time a governor came and prayed with Muslims in a masjid. In all those southeastern, south states, or south or east, wherever, did you hear a governor go to a masjid to pray? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِي. Every right-thinking person will know that this is the truth. If they have some right that the laws of the land guarantees them, does it mean that the ruler has to be there? Does it mean that once a Muslim is a ruler, he has to be a Christian and then again an idol worshiper at the same time? Because he's a governor. Is there anything in the statutory laws of the state that says that? So why are we fooling ourselves? So if you want to advise a ruler about something like that, you come knowledge-based. When you explain to him, you say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ مَدِي سَعَى you did not remember. You say it in a nice way. If he says anything, you listen consciously and patiently. When you reply, you give another reply. The fact that you said something and then he replies, you does not necessarily mean that he has thrown away your advice. A person that is cautioning or advising somebody should be patient enough to listen, especially a ruler, because you are talking to a person in authority. Just like when you are talking to a very rich man. I'm not talking about rich men of millionaires, though. I'm talking about billionaires. When you talk to them, you need to be very, very careful. You must be ready to listen to them too. In fact, in some cases, they will say 20, you will say 2. But your 2 will cancel their 20. I've seen such incidents. They will be talking. In fact, they want you to listen to them. And you say, yes, when this is correct, you nod. Correct. When it is not correct, sometimes you say no. Sometimes you just wait. He will ask you, don't you, are you not with me? You say, I'm not with you because there's one hadith. You bring the hadith. You destroy all the 20 he has been saying. You have to be very knowledgeable, very careful, very intelligent, and well coordinated in your presentation. There is no evil person that does not accept truth when he sees it. Even if he does not tell you in his heart, he knows that this is the truth. I think most of the times we, the Muslims, we have not been patient enough with people. And then they say the man is kafir. I say, what? You are the apart. Did you do wa'azi to him? Did you seek to meet him? Did you seek to correct him? Did you go to him with Quran, hadith, and say, today we want to show you that what you did is wrong? This is hadith. Can you read it, sir? And it's a person that's ready to do that with you. You just go behind and start saying. And then you say you want to become Pilgrim's Board chairman. The man says, no, I don't want to appoint Pilgrim's Board. You say it's a cafe. That is the day you remember that there is one festival that he went to. Stop all this. Because that is the interest, it's not your own personal interest. It should be in the interest of the fact that Allah wants you to discharge a responsibility. You are not going to discharge responsibility so that when you stand up, the governor closing or whomever, you know, comes with envelope and dips the envelope. These are the kind of things people discuss. What do you want to do? Which of them do you want to serve? Your personal desires or Allah? He didn't give you anything today. He didn't give you tomorrow. Fakana mala, were you going to him to advise him in the first place so that he can give you something? So say what you want, and then because he didn't give you, you say it's kafir. Is this? Is that? Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Most of the time people criticize people for sheer personal benefit. Nothing more. And when they give them 1 million, they start fighting over it. May Allah protect us. So these learned people, sorry, should be sincere about what they want to do from the very beginning. Alaykum salam. That the issue is more open than it appears. So what happened after that? What is the result of that? Or we'll not look at natija, we'll not look at results. We did something in the past. What did it bring us? In that environment itself, what did it bring? Fortunately, it's something I know well about. What did it bring? Except noises. Even here, we were going to sing, hey, Sharia. Is that how Sharia is done? That is not the way Sharia is established. That was not the way the Messenger established Sharia. To establish Sharia, you must first of all establish the people upon the Sharia that they will implement without a government. You say you want to establish a Sharia on people who don't pray. People who don't fear Allah, they are still tying liars, talisman, on their hands, on their palms. In their houses that are kunji and all of that, they are tying, thinking that you protect them. Are these the people that you are saying that they should come out and launch Sharia? You don't launch Sharia. In the real sense of it will evolve and become established. And it has a starting point. The starting point is not Eagle Square. The starting point is in the hearts of the people. If you hear some of the people in that environment will tell you, you will be surprised. So what value did it give to Islam? Were we being real? If there are more times, all of what we have been talking about is politics. Because the meaning of politicking is governance. And we have been talking about the options of Islam. So it's not as if we are not talking about politics. All of what we have been talking about is politics, but from the goggles of Islam. To do that, we have a long way to go, and this is where we start from. Educating the people and enlightening them about what Allah wants. You are in an office, you want to sign a check for a contract representing government. You will not add one naira to it. What will make you do that? Is it launching? It is one fear of Allah you have in your heart that what I'm doing, Allah is seeing it. That is when one naira will be one naira and 10 naira will be what? 10 naira. You will not be expecting a kickback. You will not expect that when I give you a file to click for me in the ministry that I should put something in the file. Do you need a governor to establish this for you? And this is the starting point. So we want to build a house, we go and buy the ceiling fork without buying the land. When they ask you, you are buying the ceiling for the zinc, the roof, first, without a land. A man does not have a car, he's buying petrol. What will kill him? What will kill that man? He bought petrol and left it in his house, 50 liters. He said, because sometimes there is petrol shortage. So he buys 50 liters petrol and keeps it in his kitchen, waiting for the day you buy a car. That is the example of what we are fighting. That is not where Sharia starts from. The Prophet Muhammad, let's not forget, he was offered to be a ruler. He said, no, I don't want. Why? Because that time, he does not have sufficient heart that will operate a government. How many were there at the time? The people of Makkah said, don't worry, if it is leadership, will you make you our leader? He said, no, I don't want. Why did he say he did not want? Because the ground was not fertile for that at that time. So let people say some of that. To be the last question, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. What is he bought again? What is he bought again since we have Iman? He didn't say that. They cannot. See, my dear brother, I don't want us to live here with an impression. What impression is that? Those people, they don't want us to do politics. No. Our duty here is just to explain how does Islam say that a community should be run. What we are doing here is, how does Islam say we should run governance? That's all. How you go out and run it is your own personal issue. If I have a party chairman here, what I'm saying is what I would say to him. How does Islam say we should run government? It's what we are talking about. And the meaning of politics is running the government, governance. So if you say we are saying that Islam does not support politics, what are you saying? We are talking about Islamic governance. How does the leader emerge? What are the rights of the ruled over the ruler? How does he operate? Who will agree? Who will not? How? These are the technicalities we are discussing from the governance of Islam. So we are discussing politics. But the politics that Allah and His Messenger have established for us. So if we understand it, how you are now able to implement that when you go out is another issue altogether. If you now understand that in an office that where you are, you work, 1 naira must be 1 naira, 10 naira must be 10 naira, he understands, he understands, he understands, I understand, she understands, will our community not be better? Even if we have not been barred from Juma. So this is the issue is a toddler does not ask how does a person swim. A toddler, you are asking, how do I swim? What will the parents say to him? A toddler, somebody just trying to walk, is asking the mother, how do I swim? You will see there is no answer that you can provide to satisfy the urge of that child. The only thing you'll be saying is that you move gradually. You'll be educating the people. All of these things are joint benefits. If a Muslim is saying this to a Christian, he will know that that is the correct thing. Every one of us should let 1 naira be 1 naira, 10 naira be 10 naira. No side cut, no backup, no kick up, no addition, and let's run governance and see. Just this one alone. Let's operate this one alone. And Allah says, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْصَوْا فِي الْعَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Do not deny people of the things that belong to them. So if federal allocation comes and you are the one in charge, you say you will not deny them and you fulfill your responsibility with the money you have. 36 state governors do that. How will the country be? Just on this alone. Financial propriety alone. How is that? But before financial propriety, my dear brother, iman too must be there. Because you are not doing the governance so that the people will enjoy alone. You are also becoming, you are governing, you are administering the people because you will also give accounts on the day of Qiyamah. So where do you start from? Iman. You, the governor, where is your iman? Where are you? Regarding beliefs. When your political associates come with juju and all that, what is your disposition to that? You start with that as an individual first. Then you start thinking about how to be fair to everybody. Muslims and non-Muslims. I always say this, if you are a Muslim ruling non-Muslims, you don't need to be bribing the pastors. Just do their right. Give them their right, give Muslims their right. The right that the state, the statutory laws of the state establish that these rights should be given, give them. Give them their rights. Be fair with them. But you see, my brother, these thoughts, we have been saying it, people have been saying it. If we say we are not doing this, where are we going to sign? Where are we? If everybody here, may Allah prohibit. Okay, see now where we are going to start. You say a Muslim should join a political party. If he joins Party A is the enemy of Party B. So the day he joins Party A, is he a friend to the person in Party B? Is he a friend to the person in Party B? Brothers, let's be calm so that we can. Although it's the last question, inshallah. Unless you want to come to, the person in Party A wants to go to Party B because he's sure that in Party B they will give him free tickets. That is the game. is again, a man was known for nobility, for soundness of thinking, for rightfulness. They said, come and be with something. He quickly left all those ones and went there. In this country. And in other places, it's not peculiar to us alone. The game is largely a game of deception. That is being very, very frank. But in our own situation, we say, when a leader emerges, may Allah give us leaders that will be fair to us. May Allah give us leaders that will be fair to us, that will be easy with us, that will not prevent our deen from being established on the earth, that will aid the cause of Allah, whether that leader directly knows or not. Give us leaders who will be rightly guided. Those who are already leading us, make them rightly guided people. Allah, give them right people who will give them the right advices at the right time. This is our own. While we still tell the people everybody should be rightful in his or her conduct, as a person and as a contributor to the community. It's a very simple thing, but when we are bogus, hey, what are we going to do? They will say they should not commit play controversy. They will say we are just building up theory. Big things that will be difficult for us to achieve. Start from something small and achievable. And then we'll reach there, inshallah, where the people will rule and they'll be looking back into the Quran, they'll be looking back into the Sunnah, they'll be looking at the benefits of everybody in the community. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ آمين. عليكم.